Yeah, so it's a nothing burger, right? Ultimately, this is one of the three things that Saylor said he was going to do in order to inoculate the market and make this a less scary thing. So like for those of you who might be unaware, obviously Strategy hasn't sold any Bitcoin since 2022. There's a misconception that they've never sold their Bitcoin before. Not true. They sold 704 BTC in 2022, which is quite a lot, relative especially to the amount that they sold today. So they only sold 32 Bitcoin today, which is 0.0038% of their holdings. That's like if you owned one Bitcoin and you sold 3,800 sats, right? So it's actually nothing. I'm not being hyperbolic. And so the reason they did it is not because they were a forced seller. It's because they're trying to prove to the market that they can sell Bitcoin if needed, right? That's why it was such an inconsequential amount, because one of the major detractions, not just from the market at large, but more importantly, committees like the S&P 500 Inclusion Committee that decides whether your equity will be listed on the S&P 500 index or not, have said one of the major downside risks to Strategy is that they've never shown they can sell Bitcoin before, at the very least, not for tax loss harvesting purposes. So we had tax loss harvesting back in 2022. That's why they sold 704 Bitcoin. But Strategy hasn't shown that they can sell BTC and be okay without the need for buying it back, right? Obviously, they're going to continue doing purchases, but this was just a measure to increase the likelihood that they're included in the S&P 500, which is, in a way, actually the most bullish thing that can happen for Bitcoin. And so it sounds a bit counterintuitive. One of the largest institutional structural buyers, if not the largest institutional structural buyer of Bitcoin, selling it, actually being bullish. But if you actually think about the second and third order effects, which I always include, encourage my viewers to do, then this is actually one of the more bullish developments for Bitcoin over the last year.
Interesting. Yeah, that's a good take for sure. You mentioned 2022 when they sold the Bitcoin that you brought up. I mean, as you said, it was for tax loss harvesting that they did it. They weren't a forced seller there either. But then at the same time, a lot of people are pointing to the fact that Saylor has been very adamant about sell your kidney for Bitcoin, never sell your Bitcoin, you know, and that's what people kind of think they're now disappointed in, you know. They also, maybe some of them point to, you know, MSTR when they, you know, they said about the NAV that they had, MNAV, they're not going to sell Strategy shares at that price, but then they did for some reasons as well. So I guess a lot of people are just kind of disappointed in Saylor. So what do you think? Is that relevant at all? Or like, how do you validate this, you know, or evaluate this?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, they're valid criticisms, right? I won't tell anyone who is disappointed in the fact that these things happened when they were told they wouldn't happen, that they're wrong for feeling disappointed. But what I will say is that as far as MicroStrategy as a company is concerned, as far as their products, their perpetual preferred instruments are concerned, and most importantly, as far as their Bitcoin holdings are concerned, these developments are not relevant to the long-term structural integrity of any of those things, which is what you want to hear, right? The last thing you would want is for, Saylor to be selling Bitcoin because he had to, right? Or Saylor missing a dividend date, right? You know, those things are actual major red flags as far as the company's health is concerned. But given the fact that he's doing these during a time when Bitcoin is really boring and not doing anything, if anything, the people who are disappointed actually shouldn't be disappointed. It should be the opposite. Now, it sounds counterintuitive, but let me explain. Think about it this way. If only people in the market who are extremely bearish over your company are saying, well, when you guys sell Bitcoin, you're going to collapse, wouldn't it be an extremely good development for that company to then say, okay, times are good. We have a really fat balance sheet. We have like decades worth of dividend coverage. How about we sell like 32 Bitcoin, like an inconsequential amount, in order to prove to the market that we can without blowing up? And then they do. Like, in actuality, this is a tremendous development. Now, I'm not, I'm not trying to hype these guys up, and I'm not trying to do anything like that. But the fact of the matter is, in my mind, this is a positive development that really knocks out one of the major bear points about Strategy. Obviously, you and I both know that they don't actually have any leverage on their balance sheet. They just bought back a ton of their converts. And so they're almost done buying back all of their debt. And so, you know, these perpetual preferred instruments, they're not actually debt obligations. And so in a way, right, this company's balance sheet health is extremely strong, and it's nothing to be afraid of. Like, you and I both know that, obviously, but for the wider market, they don't know that. And so them selling Bitcoin and then proving to the market over the next couple of weeks that they can't collapse is actually a very good thing, right? It's almost like, you know, introducing a little bit of chicken pox to yourself through a vaccine, right? Or introducing a little bit of measles to yourself through a vaccine. you're essentially allowing your immune system to learn how to fight that before. So that way you are inoculated and you're immune to it. In the same way, Saylor's selling a ton of Bitcoin. Now he has inoculated the market of that fear, right? Of the notion that Strategy, upon selling their Bitcoin, will enter into a death spiral or whatever. So this is actually quite a positive development for BTC.
Yes, that's a good way to explain it as well. I mean, one thing that some people might bring up is just because they're selling, okay, couldn't this at some point spiral out of control? You know, he has sold 32 Bitcoins by now, testing the market. That's all right. You know, it's exactly what he should be doing, as you explained. But what if like these dividend payments, you know, that he will have to cover in USD, you know, what if they are not sort of, if that's not sustainable, you know, and he will have to sell more just to cover these dividends, you know, and then it spirals from 32 Bitcoins to 100. And then at some point it will be 1,000. And, you know, that's kind of like probably what people are worried over as well, you know, given that, I guess, I don't know, it could be, there might be a ceiling to this, obviously, you know, maybe 1.7 billion in dividend payments that he will have to cater to over the next year. I guess that would be the ceiling, but there could be some substantial amount that he will be selling, you know? So I think there is a risk there. Wouldn't you agree?
I mean, there's a risk in the event that Bitcoin's price drops precipitously. Right now they have 35.2 years of BTC coverage and they have a cash reserve, but the cash reserve again was mostly just performative to show the S&P committee that, look, we could put cash on the balance sheet as needed, even if Bitcoin fell by 50%, which I think you and I can both agree is sort of a tall order. I mean, it might, even if that happened, they would still have 17.6 years of dividend coverage, you know? So like that would mean Bitcoin at 35,000. And at which case I would be like selling every asset I own to buy more Bitcoin, you know? And so even at that level, they would still have well over a decade and a half of dividend coverage. And so for me, it's not something that's necessarily all that scary. And also you got to think like in times like these, they have a couple of different levers. Number one, they can lower the dividend. Obviously they don't want to because they're using Stretch as a Bitcoin accumulation vehicle. And when Bitcoin is at a discount, relative to where they think it should be valued, they want to keep the dividend high so they can entice new capital to come in so they can buy more Bitcoin, right? But like if worst comes to worst, they could decrease the dividend to 10.5%. 10%, 9.5%, which is still extremely enticing relative to the wider market. You got to remember, not only is the average high yield corporate bond like 6.5% today, 7% today, but Stretch actually debuted at 9%. So it's 11.5% because that is what we landed on eventually. But if Bitcoin falls into a bear market, then ultimately they can simply decrease the dividend rate if they need to and extend their years of dividend coverage. Now, I don't think that that's what they're going to do, but they have numerous levers to pull, not to mention the extreme amount of runway, even in worst case scenarios where it's just not something I'm worried about. Obviously, those are risks though, right? And it's important to be transparent about those risks and understand those risks. But I think like, you know, and I think you and I can both agree, like a lot of the folks who are out here saying that Strategy is a Ponzi scheme, it's going to zero, yada, yada, yada. It's just baseless. And in my mind, it's sort of the Michael Burry syndrome, what I'm calling it. Ever since people watched the movie The Big Short, which is actually the most popular finance movie in business schools, probably globally, but at least I know in the United States, because I was going to business school at the time, you know, everyone wants to think that they have found the next bubble or they have found the next, you know, massive asymmetric downside asset that nobody else has seen before. And so because of this Michael Burry syndrome, it leads a lot of charlatans all over the place to behave like Strategy is somehow a Ponzi or what have you. And they're not, right? Like by any definition, Strategy is not a Ponzi scheme. You know, I think, I don't know if you've spoken with Jeff Walton before, if you've had him on your show. If you haven't, I would highly suggest having him on because he went on CoffeeZilla's show and CoffeeZilla still has yet to actually upload the interview that he did with him. And he likened Strategy to an insurance company wherein basically with insurance companies, there's this big misconception that they're taking the assets on their balance sheet and liquidating them in order to pay insurance payouts. Well, that's actually not true. What they're doing is they're taking proceeds from monthly payments from individuals paying into their policies in order to pay out individuals who have claims. And so if you think about it like that, like, wouldn't that also make insurance a Ponzi scheme? And so like the argument sort of falls apart there once you understand that Ponzi schemes don't have assets, right? That's the major thing. Ponzi schemes don't have a balance sheet. It's genuinely all smoke and mirrors. There is no appreciating asset on the other end of this thing. All Strategy is doing is they're doing a carry trade, which is what you and I are both very familiar with, a carry trade, right? It's one of the popular ways in which U.S. investors invest in domestic assets. The borrowing yen, which is a cheap, low-yielding currency to invest in high-yielding U.S. dollar assets, that's just what strategies do, right? They are borrowing more cheaply than Bitcoin's average compound annual growth rate, at least for the time being. And of course, in the event that Bitcoin's compound annual growth rate declines over time, they have the lever they need in order to decrease that dividend. So it's not something I'm worried about. In my mind, this is a very positive development. The knee-jerk reaction from the market to massively sell off, you might see a little bit more of that if Strategy decides to sell even more, which they might. But the important thing to remember, one, this is simply to inoculate the market. So taking your medicine always sucks. It's never fun. It's going to taste bad. In the long run, it'll be good for you.
Mm-hmm.